Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to get to. We'll continue talking about the raid at Mar-a-Lago. We'll also get into a piece of video that I have of Nancy Pelosi talking about China. I'm still confused about Nancy Pelosi and China and Taiwan and what she's saying now. And now they're backtracking and saying she didn't mean to say that. The whole thing is very screwy. Carrie, do you have any idea how we stand on China in this country?
No.
Because one day we're for Taiwan is free and liberated and independent. The next day we're for the one America, the one China policy. What? I don't know where we are on it because they are exactly the opposite. One, saying there's a free Taiwan and its own independent country. That is not the one China policy because the one China policy includes Taiwan as part of China. So Pelosi, the badass, get on my plane and go to Taiwan, watch me. She decides to go on NBC and talk about how China's a democracy. Carrie, is China a democracy?
No.
No. No, it's not, in fact. Great answers, by the way. So we'll get into that. I've got a piece of video that I will show you if you want to see her dumb face. And can I say dumb face to the Speaker of the House or not?
Well, you did, so.
And then Savannah Guthrie at NBC, she agrees that it's a terrific democracy, that China.
What?
Seriously. You know what I mean? Come on, what are we talking about here? So stop by the website, joepags.com. Click on Watch Now if you want to see her dumb face. Now, Carrie, normally I do that and more people show up, right? Yeah, okay. People might not show up because I'm telling them to look at her dumb face. That could actually go against the grain, couldn't it?
It could, possibly.
It might. Careful. All right, Joe Pags Show, glad to have you here on a Tuesday. Crazy Train Tuesday. That is the Chocolate Voice. How's it going, Carrie?
Okay.
Better than okay. You seem great to me.
Thank you.
Polo getting it done. Sam in the house. Staying dry, Sam? Is it still storming?
It slowed down a little bit.
Can you send some to Texas, please?
I'm so jealous. Oof.
We don't even know what that is anymore. If water fell from the sky, Carrie, we'd be scared. We'd be
what
like,
is
what?
It? I know.
It's like major drought time. It turns out it's because cows fart and I drive an SUV.
Climate change.
888-94- That's probably it. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. We'll certainly continue talking about it. See, let's open the phone lines because a lot of people, we were blowing the phone lines up at last hour, and a lot of people didn't get to get their question through or their comment about the Mar-a-Lago raid. If you missed my interview with Rudy Giuliani, I'm not sure what your problem is. You know what I mean, Carrie? They must have a problem if they missed that.
I mean, exactly. What were we asking for? 3 hours? Out of 24. I mean, that's not too much at all, really.
It's merely a fraction.
A drop in the bucket.
Are you kidding me? It's 1/12 of the day.
Exactly.
Is that what it is? No, it's not 1/12. 1/8 of the day is what it is. So Giuliani came on graciously, and again, he had no time, but he gave us 16 minutes, which is awesome. And he talked about the fact that a second lock was put on the safe at Mar-a-Lago. Turns out Trump and his lawyers have been dealing with the Department of Justice to figure out if the stuff that he has from the White House was classified and couldn't be removed, or if there's an argument about whether he could or couldn't have it for his own archives, or had to go to the National Archives. And that seems to be a pretty simple problem to solve. Okay, is it or is it not stuff that he can have? If he can't have it, he gives it back. And generally speaking, you get a subpoena. And you subpoena certain items, and if you don't show up with the items, then you can execute a search warrant and go in and do what they did yesterday. They never did the subpoena step. They never asked for it. And in the conversations about whether they were going to be turning it over, according to Rudy, they said, okay, we're going to put a second padlock on this safe to make sure nobody can get in there. So Trump had one lock. The FBI had another lock. Then they show up in this raid like idiots. And by the way, did you notice that the big media is starting to call it? They were just serving a search warrant. It wasn't a raid at all.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
I've heard that.
They literally are changing the verbiage they're using. So they show up and don't have the key to the lock. So now they have to break into the safe, which is ridiculous, as they show up, you know, in force for no reason whatsoever. Because, again, there were conversations happening in a legal sense about straightening out whatever the issue is here. And when Trump put out his announcement last night, that's how we found out. Carrie, did you find it sneaky and a little bit different as a journalist that CNN and MSNBC and the New York Post and the Washington, or the New York Times, I should say, and the Washington Post didn't leak this first. It was first told to us by Trump himself. I found that to be weird.
Yeah, I would call that a little sneaky.
We'll have Roger Stone on tomorrow. You know what happened with Roger Stone.
Oh, yeah. It was in the middle
6
of the
o'clock
night.
In the morning.
Oh, okay.
In his underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, basically still dark out. Somebody today said 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure about that. But it was early in the morning for no reason. He's a 70-something-year-old guy who wasn't going to go anywhere. If they wanted him to come in, he would have. But guess who was there documenting the entire thing from start to finish? CNN.
Oh.
So they got tipped off. Isn't that? Don't you find that weird that they didn't get tipped off on this one?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, there are a lot of moving parts in the story. Yeah. It's very surprising because you've got DOJ members who are like they've got direct lines to any CNN, any MSNBC that they want. So that the fact that they didn't do that is very strange to me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people want to be heard on this, and what Rudy asked me during that interview, and I gave him the best answer I could, was why are we surprised? And my answer is a simple one. I'm surprised because after they've done it 5, 6, 10 times, and we've exposed them every time, you would figure they would learn and stop trying it. But I guess that is a bit naive.
No.
Because they're not stopping. So at the end of the day, what we have is either a confusion between the DOJ and Trump, and it all gets cleared up, or as Rudy said, they're going to try to charge him with something. And although the penalty is not a steep one, if in fact he took something from the White House that he wasn't supposed to, what goes along with that, in accordance with that, if he's found guilty, guess what, Carrie?
What?
He can't run again. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to think, with the J6 committee, the allegation that he caused the riots, which of course he didn't, the allegation that he was trying to get dirt on his rival Biden by having that phone conversation with Ukraine, by alleging that he tried to get fake votes to show up in Georgia or Arizona, they've tried everything they can to stop him from running again. Because keep in mind, if you're impeached and found guilty, you're not allowed to hold office nor run for office again. He was exonerated both times. It's kind of amazing. So here we are in this day and age of all this technology, and we see what they're trying to do. Every end game in everything they're trying is Trump can't run again. And I've said it from day one, and a lot of you have said it as well. Just beat him. If you don't want him to be the president again, I have an idea. Put up a good candidate and beat him. And because of what I've learned from 2000 Mules, I don't think they beat him in the year 2020. But if they have to run against him again in 2024, just beat him. Put up a good candidate. Put up a good agenda. Put up a good plan. Convince more Americans to vote for you than for Trump. Why is that so outlandish? It should be an actual simple answer. Oh, that's okay. He can run again. We'll just beat him. But for them to pull out all the stops and try everything they possibly can to stop him from even being on the ballot again tells you everything you need to know. They know they didn't beat him last time. And they know damn well they can't beat him this time because the Zucker boxes will go away. And the duplicates and the votes from people outside the area will not count in Maricopa County. And in Detroit, they can't, you know, have trucks in the middle of the night doing whatever they're doing. And in Atlanta, they can't fake like there's a water main break and then suddenly something comes out from under the table as the media is told to leave. They know they can't beat them. That's why they're doing this. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I want to hear from you on this. Let me go to David, who's in Indiana. David, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. You know, this is an insult to my intelligence, and it should be an insult to everyone else's intelligence. These are the same people that accused Trump of trying to take out a future political rival when Trump called the president of Ukraine wanting to know about Burisma and Hunter Biden.
Right.
And then here they're doing exactly what they accused him of.
Right.
I mean, what do they think? We're absent-minded? We don't have memories?
Yes. They do, or they hope, or they don't care.
I mean, this should be a wake-up call to Republicans and Democrats. These people will do anything and everything to hold on to power.
Yes. David, I'm with you and I hear you. I actually tweeted about this yesterday. Put it on Truth, put it on Getter as well. Make sure you go to joepags.com and click on your favorite social media. Follow me there. And also click on Watch Now. I'm going to show that Nancy Pelosi video in a second. Actually, after the break, we'll show that. But I said this last night. They impeached Donald Trump because of the phone call he made to Ukraine. And in that phone call, he was asking about what was going on with Burisma and the possibility of corruption with the Biden family. Well, he was impeached because allegedly he was going to hold back weapons or something if he didn't give me dirt on my political rival. Of course, he didn't say that, and he was smart enough to release the transcript almost immediately, and they still impeached him on it. And now Biden shows up at his political rival's house, and again, today, Ed said he didn't know. I didn't know they were going to do that. But this is exactly what's going on. This politicized DOJ is going after Trump. And they're trying to stop him from ever running again. This is getting dirt on his political rival for Joe Biden or whoever it is that's pulling the strings. This is no different. Very good point. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Let me tell you about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's a great proven oxy-technology-filled air purifier. I want you to get some of these in your house. We've got four in the house now. And it smells like a thunderstorm came through, so it's fresh and clean air. No matter where you put it, it gets rid of mildewy smells, musty smells. They just vanish after just a few seconds of the thunderstorm being on. Over 265,000 already sold. You know it works. Any odor is going to disappear when you use the thunderstorm. Odors from litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, dirty diapers, and more are no match. And best of all, no filters to buy. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for the entire home protection. Get 3 units for under $200. It's a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers that can go for over $600. You don't want to deal with them. Get one in your basement, your bedroom, your family room, your kitchen, anywhere you need clean, fresh air, and go to the website right now and save a bunch of money. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in discount code PAGS3, and save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code PAGS, the number 3. Shipping is free. Back after this on the Joe PAGS Show.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe PAGS Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. Keep in mind, about 11 minutes from now, it'll be Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Dr. Kuhlman, you've seen her on Fox News. You've seen her on Newsmax. You can see her on my show all the time as well. I talked to her about the psychology of watching this go down yesterday at Mar-a-Lago. We, as Americans, seeing the current administration going after the previous administration so egregiously and seeing this happen out of the blue. I mean, what is our reaction initially? Do people actually say, well, forget Trump, he must be no good? Do they automatically say, I support Trump even more now because here's Biden going after him because he's so afraid of him? Do people say, I'm getting out of this, I'm not even going to think about it? I mean, what reaction do we have psychologically when we see this go down and all the politics being played? It's just absolutely nuts. Plus, we talk about defunding the police. We talk about a lot of police leaving even before their pensions start. Make sure you stick around. About 10 minutes from now, it'll be Dr. Kuhlman right here on the Joe PAGS Show. Got to tell you about Congress reaching another deal to raise billions, if not trillions, of dollars. They just keep on moving the debt ceiling. It's something you can't do. You're buried in bills, trying to keep up with all the credit card, signature loans, internet loans, and timeshares. Get off the treadmill, get some total financial freedom, and get it right now. If you owe more than $10,000, these people have been doing a great job helping people like you for over 15 years. Helping people resolve their debts, cut payments in half. Give them a call right now. 800-833-9444. 1-800-833-9444. Call and ask about the free book, The Debt Dietitian. You get it by mentioning my name. And get that free book. Learn how you can easily cut your payments. That's what it does. The Debt Dietitian. Ask for it. Tell them my name and you'll get it. You're going to appreciate their team, like-minded people, with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. No complaints ever, which is awesome. Call Total Financial right now at 1-800-833-9444. Again, 1-800-833-9444. You got nothing to lose. Maybe cut those debts, that's for sure. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. It's going to be line 2 and Thomas in Florida. Thomas, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
First time caller.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I'm still in shock over last night, and then I hear the White House report that President Biden found out about the raid the same way we did. And in my opinion, that makes him look even more incompetent than he already is.
Well, it's trying to give him cover, Thomas, that he wasn't the one who did it, because that then we could say that he's going after his political rival. But you don't believe that the administration didn't know, right?
We,
I mean,
all
come
know
on.
That is bullcrap.
Yes.
So
you and I agree.
Anyway,
Thomas, you're right. It is bullcrap. And other people have said the S word a lot, like Megyn Kelly and Dan Bongino. Yeah, I mean, they're just dropping it everywhere, Carrie.
Jealous. Let,
let's
be nice.
Let's. I'll say 1, 2, 3, and we'll both say it.
No.
Come on, let's.
Mm-mm.
I dare you.
No, I'm not
triple
going
dog?
To do it. Nope. No.
Not even a triple dog dare?
Not on this microphone. No, sir.
Wow.
Why don't you do it? I'll count to three, and then
okay.
You say the word. Ready?
Okay, you go first, and I'll say it right afterwards.
No, you say it. One.
Let's
two.
Say your favorite word. Let's just go for it.
No, we'll really be in trouble. No.
Let me come back to the phone lines before we get in big trouble here. Let me say hello and welcome to Marilyn, who is in California. Marilyn, what's going on? Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to give you my take on that
Please.
Raid at Mar-a-Lago yesterday.
Yeah.
Since it was done by all the swamp people, no previous knowledge given to anyone else. I believe that what they did it for was to plant information in Mar-a-Lago somewhere that they will bring out later. They're not going to do it right away because it would be kind of obvious. But I'll bet you in the next week or two, we hear about some terrible thing that Trump had done and taken papers that he shouldn't have taken.
Well, you've got a lot of company.
Well,
Marilyn, no, I hear you. And a lot of people are in your camp with this. A lot of people agree with you. A lot of people have already called today. And I certainly agree. I don't like that lawyers were told what they could or couldn't see or where they could or couldn't be. I don't like that they showed up with a search warrant knowing that Trump wasn't going to be there. I don't like that they had a cut into the safe. I'm not sure what exactly they thought they were going to get done. But somebody needs to go put a microphone in the face of the magistrate in South Florida who said, yeah, sure, a warrant sounds good, because it doesn't make sense. And here's a guy that, again, is connected somehow to the Jeffrey Epstein case, which, again, stinks of high heaven, or too high heaven. Let me go to line one. Is going to be Ron in Daytona Beach. What's happening, Ron?
Hey, Joe, how you going?
Liberty
Listen,
dream.
I am getting frustrated with people on social media who keep saying, well, what are we going to do? When are we going to take our country back? Everybody's sitting around doing nothing. And I pose the question back to them, okay, tell me what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to pose this question to you. If you were asked that, how do we take our country back, what would you tell them?
You got to win the midterms. Obviously, you've got to turn the House and the Senate over to stop this radical agenda. That's how you do it. Plus, if you get the House back, which holds the purse strings, and nobody is talking about this, Ron, you've got to shut off the funding to the Department of Justice until they get right. Because they have the ability to stop funding them.
Yeah. I was suggesting that we should go through the states. I noticed that Ron DeSantis, a great governor in Florida, has come out and really smashed Biden on this one.
Yeah, well, he should. But what is he going to do? You'll notice that Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department didn't stop the FBI from going in. The Florida State Police didn't stop the FBI from going in. So, I mean, so Ron DeSantis can say it. But as much as I believe him, Ron DeSantis is a great governor, I don't know that he has the ability to stop the feds who have a signed search warrant from going and doing what they did yesterday. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You think that he can do that?
They can do, yeah.
So he's got a search warrant, which is legal. Hold on. A magistrate signed the search warrant, which makes it legal, and you're telling me that Ron DeSantis can send the Florida State Troopers to go stop the FBI from going in?
They can go and verify that they got the information and be there, make sure that they don't do anything strange.
The warrant is the warrant. Now, being there and observing, I'm with you. I hear you on that. But he can't. We're not going to get into a gunfight with the FBI. They've got a signed warrant.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying just to make sure that nothing funny goes on.
No, right, I wouldn't mind that. I mean, I think that Trump's security was still there. Ron, I appreciate it. I saw some people outside the gates, and I believe that was the same guy that was there with the rifle when I was there. So, I mean, Trump's people were still there. I just don't know how much access they had. We're going to find out even more as we go. But I don't think that any governor has the right to say, screw your warrant, you can't go and do this. I don't think that they have that ability. We come back, Dr. Kuhlman, about the psychology of watching something like this go down and people playing politics. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always glad to have this young lady back. It is Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. She's a clinical psychologist. We love having you on. Katie, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm wonderful, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and you are wonderful. I agree with you. You know, there's so much going on. We talked about this briefly before we started today, and it's not necessarily why you were coming on today. We have you on at least once a month, and it's generally on a Tuesday, and more than that if something else pops up. But with Mar-a-Lago yesterday and the raid on a former president's home, and he wasn't even there. It was very strange how this thing unfolded. This is wreaking havoc on people when it comes to politics and the psyche that goes along with your political persuasion. Like, already there's a bit of a division on the Republican side. Some people are done with Trump, very few. Other people, Trump is the next guy again, and we have to support him. America first, go, go, go. Well, this took a lot of steam out of some people, and this made some other people mad. So is it a normal reaction to viscerally feel like the raid was happening to you as you watch this unfold on the news?
Well, I don't think so. You know, I think that Trump's persona, I mean, the way that he pulls people in, people become very attached to him.
Yes.
And his right, and his entire platform, just the way that he interacts with people. I mean, when he does a rally, like, you feel like he's speaking to your heart.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think a lot of people really appreciate that about the president. And he was like the people's president. Like, he was really the guy that I feel like a lot of people felt like understood the plight of the general American people. And so obviously 2020 felt like a huge loss to a lot of us. And it felt like this personal attack, right? Because I think that, you know, a lot of people saw Trump as kind of this beacon of hope, this guiding light. He's going to, you know, run again. He's going to be the next president. And it gave a lot, and maybe still does give a lot of people hope about what the future looks like. And now that we have seen this, you know, the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, a lot of that comes into question. Can he even run again? Is this going to be like a black mark on his record? You know, what's the rest of the story? What don't we know?
Yeah, it's an interesting angle because you're right. They impeached him twice. He was exonerated both times. But now his competitors, the other side, can say he was twice impeached. Now they're going to be able to say the FBI raided his house, even if it was invalid, which by all accounts, even from Alan Dershowitz, who's a lefty, he says that was invalid. They should have subpoenaed the information. If they didn't answer the subpoena, then maybe you go there. You don't just show up knowing that he's not there and take a bunch of stuff and cause all this havoc. So what about that? Is there wordplay, politically speaking? And it, again, those of us listening to it will psychologically react. But is there wordplay now that can say, well, he's been raided by the FBI. Why would you vote for him?
I think absolutely. I mean, we criticized Bill Clinton when he was running because he smoked marijuana once, right?
Yes,
I mean,
right.
Who cares about that now? An FBI raid is far more concerning than, you know, somebody smoking pot once in their life.
Yeah.
People will say, well, you know, the FBI wouldn't have done it if there wasn't probable cause. There must have been information they had that we don't know. He must be hiding something. And who knows what the true intentions are. And I'm kind of waiting to find out before I pass any judgment. But
yeah.
I think absolutely they're going to use this against him. And it's absolute wordplay.
It's drkuhlman.com. Go and check out Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. You'll see her on Newsmax. You'll see her on Fox News. Of course, you've been coming here for a long time now. And go. Is it Instagram that you want people to go to if they're going to follow you on social, or are you not really into social?
Instagram's fine, but Twitter more likely than Instagram. No one wants to see my Instagram.
Your Instagram is scary sometimes. I'll be honest with you. We actually had a back and forth about that. We'll talk about that next time. When it comes to politics, though, you mentioned something that really does stand out. Donald Trump was the billionaire's billionaire. Everybody wanted to be around Donald Trump. Everybody wanted to be on The Apprentice. Everybody wanted him in their music videos, whether you're a rapper or a country singer or whatever. He was the go-to guy. He's got his own football league and everything else. Decides to run for president. Suddenly, he's the evil on earth, which doesn't make sense to anybody. How was he able, do you think, to be that guy that you just said sounds like he's speaking to me when he speaks, while the other side, I mean, Joe Biden alleges that he's from Scranton, he's really kind of not, and that he's not an elitist, and he really kind of is, and he's never really had a job in his life, but he purports himself to be the regular guy, and he's not. Donald Trump isn't a regular guy, he's a billionaire, but somehow he can speak to me. How does that work?
Well, Donald Trump found a way to connect to the American people, and whether the empathy was true or it you know, was fake, it doesn't really matter. he spoke to the hearts of Americans. You know, he went out and visited with farmers and miners, and, you know, he knows how to build a business. He knows the struggles of people that are building a business. He's employed, you know, how many, you know, what, hundreds of thousands of people in every possible position, right? And he takes care of his employees. You know, he's raised a family, and it was the language that he used. When he speaks to people, he doesn't use really big words. He goes off script and he makes funny jokes.
Right.
He makes fun of himself. He makes fun of other people. He knows how to rile up a crowd and amp them up and get them excited. He has an understanding of what the issues are and knows how to dive deep and just attack it where it needs to be.
You know, there are a couple of things there, and it's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com, K-U-H-L-M-A-N.com. A couple of things there. One side says he's a disconnected billionaire who wants to be a fascist dictator. The other side says, here's a guy who is living the life we all want to live and gave it up, lost $1 billion while he was president just because he loves the country. And it really is up to us to decide what message we're taking in, right?
It is. And obviously it depends on the sources that you're listening to as well. Right. You know, and I don't think that we should punish somebody for being a billionaire or being successful. It sounds to me like he's made some good decisions in his life. And he has passed on some valuable lessons to other people.
Right.
And he's incredibly philanthropic.
It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out. You're right. It's still in the early stages. It looks like an illegal raid to me. Dershowitz said it looks like that. Turns out from the New York Post that the judge that signed off on the warrant is somebody that is somehow, you know, connected to far left wing, you know, organizations or people at least. So we'll figure out exactly what this whole thing is. But I'm glad that you sort of spelled that out. You know, what do you do when you see something like this happen? Do you run away from Trump? Do you run to him? Do you show more support? Do we say forget it? He's damaged goods. And I think those are the politics that are being played out of Washington. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. We appreciate you stopping by. Let's talk about police and the fact that we're seeing more attrition in the ranks. People are leaving before their pensions are even up. I mean, people are leaving 2 years before. If you waited two more years, you get a big fat pension. And they're like, screw it, we're out of here because we feel no support from City Hall. We feel no support from the mayor specifically. And we feel this angst with the people in the population. What's happening in the ranks of police? I know that you deal with them directly a lot.
Well, the same thing that we've been dealing with for years. And, you know, and the problem is that when it comes to law enforcement, it takes time to hire them, right? It's oftentimes, you know, 6-9 months, sometimes even a year, depending on the agency. And you're running through background checks, they're having to do polygraphs and psychs and drug tests, and then they go through an academy, and then they go through field training. And so officers are leaving the ranks at a quicker rate than they can even hire people. And then you also are dealing with, you know, who can they hire? Who wants to even do the job anymore? And a lot of departments are seeing a lesser quality of candidate because, simply put, a lot of people just don't want to do the job anymore. And so a lot of times the people that are applying for the job are people that are just looking for job stability. Maybe they don't feel, you know, the passion for being in law enforcement. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, like you mentioned, there's the community relations. There's not feeling supported by, you know, their local governments or the mayors. And a lot of, you know, officers that have been promoted, for example, to like a detective or something, you know, they're finally a detective, they're working homicide cases, this is what they've always dreamed of doing. The department's become short-staffed, and they're pulling detectives from their positions to go back on the streets and
That's
run
crazy.
Patrol calls.
Wow.
And they're not happy with that, of course, because they've worked really hard, and then, you know, they haven't been on the streets in 5 or 6 years, and but, you know, they have to be responding to calls. And then, of course, the public isn't happy because it's taking longer and it becomes a vicious cycle.
How has the left, and that's who did it in this country, how are they so successful with saying defund the police? They never said defund the police and let's replace them with this, or let's defund the police and then we'll keep you safe this way. They just said defund the police. Now, I'm 56. Growing up, somebody said, what do you want to be when you get older? I wanted to play for the New York Yankees. I wanted to be a firefighter because my dad was, or I wanted to be a cop. The new generation coming up that we haven't even heard from yet, Katie, hates the police because that's what they've been told their entire lives so far. How are they so effective in turning complete and utter communities and maybe a whole generation of people against law enforcement, and they never offered up another solution? Here's the alternative if we defund the police. How do they do that?
Well, and they offered up some solutions, but the solutions made absolutely no sense. They were like, well, let's throw social workers in and have them respond to domestic violence calls instead of law enforcement, because obviously what they need is resources, which is completely asinine. It makes absolutely no sense. You couldn't pay me enough money to show up alone on a domestic
violence call. Right, because you'll be the next victim. Exactly right. I mean, you need somebody there who can stop the problem, right?
Right. And they're one of the most dangerous calls. Anyway, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, law enforcement ends up being kind of the front line in dealing with mental health crises. And there could be other solutions there. But yeah, you know, the left, they cried defund the police to, you know, and in some cases abolish the police. And it absolutely backfired, especially, you know, look at Seattle, look at Portland, look at Chicago, New York, for example, even in Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix is down hundreds of officers. And by and large, I think Arizona is pretty supportive of our law enforcement. Phoenix is obviously the large metro city and has a Democratic mayor. So it's a little bit different there. But they were so successful because they painted an entire profession as the enemy. They made it sound like it's us versus them and they are bad. And they focused so much on the very small percentage of officers that, you know, either make dumb mistakes or, you know, purposefully are very bad.
Yeah. And it's minuscule. That number is just tiny.
It's
microscopic. And interestingly, the big media didn't talk about this much, but even in black communities, 70% didn't want to defund the police. And that's the 70% based on whatever questions they were being asked. It's probably much higher than that. Of course, we want police. We want them to live in the community with us. I like to see somebody patrolling and making sure that we're safe. I mean, hell, back in the day, there was a beat cop that would walk up and down the street. You knew his name. You knew his family. You knew that he was there to keep you safe. So can you, and I think I talked to you about this last time we spoke, but it's really important. Can you deprogram a kid who's growing up hearing that the police are your enemy? Can you make them understand that's not really the case?
Well, you can. I mean, it just takes work. When people interact with cultures that are different than their own, it starts to change the narrative in their head about what they previously believed. And that goes for anyone, right? So I might not know, you know, anything about the Germans, and I might think they're horrible people, but if I spend a week in Germany getting to know people, then my thoughts might change,
right,
for example. And so the same thing goes with law enforcement. And so I love the idea of, you know, going back to community policing, having, you know, just neighborhood cops that get to know people in the neighborhood. But the problem is that they're so short-staffed that can they really do that when there's calls holding? Can they really focus on that community engagement? And there are, you know, departments that do that. You know, they'll have coffee with a cop, or you can go, you know, there's different community events. National Night Out, I think, was last week. Which is where departments have big events and they invite families and there's like face painting and barbecues and stuff like that. And that's a really good opportunity for people to actually get to know law enforcement. I mean, they're some of the best people I know.
Very good point. Hopefully there'll be more outreach like that. But the community's got to reach out as well. It can't just be one-sided, I think. It's Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com and go check out everything she does. Again, on Newsmax all the time. She's on Fox all the time. What is it, Real America's Voice? You're on there too, right?
Yes, sir.
Nonstop. And of course, a great friend of ours here. One last question. I want to talk about the lockdowns, the effect that it had doing school over Zoom or whatever, where we were basically inside of our homes and didn't go anywhere for upwards of 2 years because of COVID. And because of that, we started to disassociate from real people. We didn't have human, you know, interaction. We didn't socialize like human beings should. And that mentally harmed us. And that can affect us physically too, right?
Oh, wait, absolutely. You know, humans are social beings. We need to have, you know, relationships with other people. We need to have fun. We need to get out of our house and, you know, we need to be social. And that's huge when it comes to stress reduction. And the problem, too, is that, you know, as you mentioned, it affects our physical health. When we were stuck inside all day, you know, not everybody has a basketball court in the back of their yard or a tennis court or, you know, lives in a place where they can go hiking easily. Some people were cooped up in, you know, small apartments in an urban area, and you were so limited physically. And there's such a connection between our physical health and our mental health. We know that people that are, you know, engage in cardiovascular activity 3 times a week for 30 minutes, that can be as effective as antidepressants for mild depression.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a huge connection there.
Really? So cardiovascular activity 3 times a week for 30 minutes is as good as an antidepressant for some people? That's amazing.
For mild levels of depression, yeah.
How do we break out of that? Because the hardest part is going to the gym the first day. Like I went today, and it'd been a long time since I'd been. How do you break that barrier that says, don't worry about it. You just have some lunch and chill out, take a nap, whatever. How do you get yourself back into that mode that we were in over 2 years ago when it's become so commonplace to not do a whole lot?
Well, I think what's happened, our comfort zone has shrunk.
Yes.
It's shrunk because of COVID. You know, all of a sudden we became lazy and we relied on convenience. You know, I can grab my phone right now and I can have any meal in the city delivered to me within 30 minutes.
That's right. That's true.
I don't have to leave the house if I don't want to. And so when our comfort zone shrank, then we just don't get out as much. And so it takes a lot of effort and it takes really more intention than effort because it's not a difficult thing to do. It's just intention to actually push yourself and to like get to the gym or to go outside and take that walk. One of the things that I do, especially if I'm feeling kind of lazy that day, is I just put my workout clothes on and then I think, well, you know, I'm halfway there.
I put on the workout clothes. I should go do something. And true story. I put on some workout clothes yesterday and never went. But today I put them on and I went. So there's an invisible barrier that I know that I face. And I think a lot of people are like this as well. If you break through that, suddenly tomorrow will become easier, right?
Right. And after about 30 days, it generally starts to set in. It's dealing with that discomfort for that first, you know, little bit, you know, and especially if you're somebody and you haven't gone to the gym in a while, or you're going to a new place, there is a little bit of like social anxiety when you walk in for the first time and you kind of don't know the layout of the gym or, you know, just the clientele that are there and you're trying to kind of figure out what it's going to look like. And so I get that, but right. It's one of those things that you have to push past and just understand that it's going to be a little uncomfortable.
Very good advice. I can't believe you called me lazy during this interview. That's crazy. But Katie, I appreciate you coming on. It's Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com. And go check out everything she does on all these great networks. And I'm glad that you're blowing up because you deserve it. And I appreciate you coming back today.
Anytime.
All right. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. We appreciate Dr. Kuhlman coming on. DrKuhlman.com is her website. Make sure you go and check her out. Great information as always, and we always appreciate her stopping by. So Hillary Clinton, with her ridiculous reaction to Donald Trump getting raided yesterday, I guess just doesn't understand how to read the room. Carrie, if you would, please.
Mm-hmm. From the Daily Mail, Hillary Clinton taunted Donald Trump with the FBI raid on his Mar-a-Lago home on Tuesday by plugging merchandise hats that monetize her own email scandals. Hillary used the opportunity to cash in on sales of the hats, which bear the slogan, "But her emails." By mid-morning, the $32 a pop accessories were sold out online.
I mean, here's somebody who's so disconnected from reality. She literally destroyed 33,000 plus emails. Many of them were classified. Many of them were government property. And nothing ever happened to her. And she's somehow rejoicing in the fact that Donald Trump had his house raided for what appears to be an invalid reason. I mean, I'm telling you, I cannot even begin to understand the elite attitude she must live with that made her do that. And by the way, the picture that she posted on her Twitter is about 20, 30 years old. I'm just going to put it out there. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.